Let's read a few words from the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John, chapter 11. Reading from verse 17 through to verse 27. We have here Jesus at a funeral of a friend named Lazarus. So John 11 from verse 17 to verse 27. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. May God bless the reading of his holy gospel. Here we have Jesus' words to a woman who was mourning the loss of her brother. It seems that Lazarus was unmarried, otherwise his wife would have been there, and the family are understandably, naturally upset. And here Jesus gives words of comfort, words which at every Christian funeral are spoken, because they are the great words of comfort that Jesus gives to those. And first of all, he tells us, I am. So the first word we have is Jesus' word, I am. And then we have Martha's word, I believe. I am, says Jesus. I believe, says Martha. Martha here, of course, Martha was an Orthodox believing Jewish person. And so she believed in the doctrine, the teaching of the resurrection at the end of the age. And yet, simply as a teaching, as a dogma, it seemed to her unpersonal. Something that was just off there and merely a natural thing, perhaps. But Jesus says, no, you're not to think of these things in terms merely of dogma and teaching of simply things, but you are to think of a person. I am, he says to her. I am. Jesus, in the time of trial, in the time of grief. And if we read on in this, we would find that at the grave, Jesus wept. Grief is natural. It's a gift of God. Do not try to suppress it, to hold it down. God has given us grief for our own good. Because death is unnatural. Death is an enemy, the last enemy, the Bible says. And yet there is one who is stronger than death. And so Jesus will point us to himself. And he says, I am. I am. He doesn't call us simply to assent to orthodox dogma and teaching and doctrine. But he calls us to trust him, to put our trust in him. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. You are not to think in terms simply of abstract teaching, but a person, a man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible centres on a man, the man Christ Jesus. Reading the words that the ladies gave, we read that in the 1930s Nancy gave her heart to the Lord Jesus. a personal encounter with a person. Because that's what it's all about. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about a man, the man Jesus Christ, and a personal relationship with him. We speak of Nancy as having gone to be with the Lord, which is far better, and we mean it. She is with the person, the one person she loved more than anybody else in the entire universe. The one person who loved her more than anybody else in the entire universe. And when we speak about eternal life, we speak about life with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he only is the resurrection and the life. Elsewhere, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Because he is the one who came down from heaven. He is the one coming into the world, even as Martha confessed. He is absolutely unique. There is no other man like Jesus. We can take anybody else in human history and we can compare them to other people. And we often do that. But Jesus is absolutely unique. When he asks, who do men say that I am? There are many answers. But who is he? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is no other. Hence that word that is so precious to us as evangelical believers, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is a totally unique person. There is nobody else like him. I am the resurrection and the life. And he doesn't say, I am the way to resurrection, or the one who gives resurrection. He does not say, I am the way to life. He says, I am the life. I am the resurrection. It's all bound up in him. It's all about him as a person. Christianity is not simply a matter of accepting things about Jesus. It is indeed a matter of receiving him as a person. And to those who receive him, to them he gives the right, the authority to be the children of God, born not according to the flesh, but according to God's grace. I am, he says. And because he is the resurrection and the life, then he gives us absolute hope in the face of death. Because if he is the resurrection, then it's not simply a matter of hoping that he will give you something, but he is the resurrection. He is the one himself. Having him, we have everything. And so, yes, we mourn, but we do not mourn as those who have no hope, because Christ is our hope. Christ is the one who has died and is risen again from the dead. And therefore, we have absolute hope in the face of death. Therefore, we know, we can be sure. We are not in a world of conjecture, of maybe, of possibly. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I will raise him up. I will raise her up, he says, on the last day. Death is temporary. It's not, as the unbelieving world would have us think, forever. But death is temporary for the Christian. Death is temporary for Nancy. It's until he comes again, until Christ comes again, and he says he personally raises up his people on the last day. It is as if he himself puts forth his hand and says, come forth. And he will on that last day. And now, now the Christian enjoys fellowship with Christ. Nancy knew fellowship with him here below, but now she has a far deeper, richer, and uninterrupted fellowship. Here below, we suffer pain, we suffer sickness, and it drains people. It's just the nature of embodied life in a fallen world. But in paradise, there is no pain. In the world to come, there is no pain. And Jesus said to the man who died beside him on the cross, "Very truly I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." And we believe the promise that he gave. And so we come to our second word, the word of Martha. I believe. I believe. Jesus speaks. And he speaks the truth. And it is the Christian's answer. I believe what you have said. But more than that, I believe in you. Look at the content of Martha's confession. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's the Christian confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what it means to be a Christian. To say that Jesus is the one who fulfills all the promises he was promised long ago in the Old Testament. And all these promises were made, all this preparation was made. And I believe that you are the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Saviour. That's all bound up in the word Messiah, the one who would deliver his people. Who delivers his people from their sins. Because that's the great problem that everybody has. It's the problem of sin, of lawlessness, of godlessness, that our sins separate us from God. But Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. He tells us that he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might live. He tells us further, those who do not believe in him are under that condemnation, but he came to lift the condemnation. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. It's a wonderful old hymn that. It's written as a Sunday school hymn. The story is told of one of the most eloquent preachers in 19th century Edinburgh. If you want to find a place full of eloquent preachers, it was 19th century Edinburgh. Thomas Guthrie, great preacher, known for his deep intellect and his understanding, brilliant man. And as he lay dying, he said, "Sing that bairn's hymn for me again, that children's hymn. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood." You see, the gospel is for all sorts of people. It's a simple proclamation about a man, the man Christ Jesus. And so Martha asked, "Do you believe?" She said, "I believe in you. I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Not a mere man, but a man and more than a man. The one who is both God and man, great my Jesus in his person, great as God and man is he. And therefore he is mighty to save. He is able to save unto the uttermost all those who come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them." I believe. She says that you are the Christ, the Son of God, that you are the unique one who has come down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Now one of the great festivals of the Christian church is Christmas, the nativity of our Lord, when we remember that he who was from everlasting, the Son of God, became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, says the Apostle John. And it was at the very centre of Nancy's faith, this man, Christ Jesus. He is at the centre, that he is the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world, that he has come into the world. The Gospels are all about that, that he has come into the world for us human beings and for our salvation. And that he has come into the world with a purpose. That purpose was to go all the way to the cross of Calvary, outside Jerusalem, there to be crucified, though he had done nothing wrong, had done everything right. And that he was crucified as a substitute. He died in the very place of our sister Nancy, and for all who believe on his name. And it's this confidence that means that we can have a funeral service that is not merely unrelieved gloom, but that is shot through with the joy of our Lord, with the joyful remembrance that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest from their labours and their works follow them. I believe, said Martha, I believe. And that's why, again and again through human history, we've come down to the description of those who follow Christ as believers, because that is what characterizes them. It was what characterized Nancy, if you could say anything of her. She was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is with him. And her belief, the belief goes further. Christ is coming again. Martha spoke of the one who is to come into the world, speaking of the promise he had given, the promise God gave in the Old Testament. But we here speak of the promise that Christ has given. I will come again to take you to myself, he says. And that our sure and certain hope is in his coming again, that Christ is coming, and he is coming to raise his people, that we may share in his life. We shall lay our sister Nancy to rest in the ground, but on the last day Christ will raise her up. And so we see here, this is the good news, this is at the centre of Nancy's life. The Lord Jesus Christ, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The Lord asks. And he asks each of us, do you believe this? May we, by his grace, be able to answer indeed, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Amen.